Well, good morning. Happy Sunday. So excited and thankful to be here with y'all this morning. For those of you that don't know, my name is Dez. And I say this often, approximately every other week, if you haven't caught the drift yet. But I am the student director here at CORE, which means I get to oversee our middle school ministry, transit, and our high school ministry inside out. And I absolutely love it. And I don't usually have extended time to say this, so I will take advantage of it since I can. But y'all, the volunteers back there in our next gen, like our kidmen and student ministry environments, are amazing. And the volunteers that I get to lead specifically in our student environments, the small group leaders, they are so passionate about leading students in a growing relationship with Jesus. And they show up, they commit. For most of them, every single week, they have this commitment. For some of them, it's every other week, but they are so committed and they care about our students. And so if you have a middle school student or a high school student, man, I just want you to know that your student's small group leader, like, they love them and they care about them, and they are investing time, not just their obligatory show up on Sunday time. No, like, throughout the week, they're thinking about your students. For some of them, they have them in a group chat and they're trying to reach out to them. They're trying to get a hold of them and connect with them and encourage them. But for others of them, they're just like trying to strategize, how can we best have better conversation, or how can I best lead them to know Jesus? And I would encourage you, if you don't know, if you have a middle school or high school student and you don't know who their small group leader is, you should find out and you should meet them. Because your student's small group leader, they care about and they are for your student, but they also care about and they're for you and for your family. And so I would just encourage you to get to know them and to find out who they are, because those back there, there are some incredible individuals, and I am just so thankful that I get to lead them. So I'm the student director here. I'm Josh's wife. He said that. He's the handsome guy up here giving the announcements. And we get to work here together at CORE. Y'all have probably, some of you probably figured that out by now. But working together and working here at the church together, it's so fun. And we are so thankful for what we get to do. Sometimes it's hard. I'm sure you can imagine anyone else work with their spouse. Sometimes it's really hard, okay? But we really enjoy it. And we're thankful that this is our church. And we're thankful for y'all, because so many of y'all make this a great place that we love to be. And we talk about that often. We love Sundays are our favorite day. We get to go home and share wins and share conversations, ways that we've connected with y'all. And so I don't think I usually have the opportunity to say that. So I just wanted to say thank you for making this a place that we love to be, that we love for our family to be. Student director, Josh's wife, and I'm also Kelly's mom. I probably talk about that sometimes because I love it. Last year, Josh and I had our first child. His name is Kelly. He's now 15 months old. And so he has just started doing all of the things for the very first time. Okay, so the past 15 months, we've really cherished and just enjoyed, like, watching him do these things for the first time. You know, like, for the first time they roll over and it's like, whoa, that's like a big deal. It was the first time. They crawl for the first time. For the first time he said his first word, it was mama. It was mama. And that was amazing. You know, he did that. And then just recently he started just getting up on his two little legs and walking around. It's like miraculous. It's so weird. You know, one day they're walking. And so we've really loved that, watching him do all of these things for the first time. And I was thinking about how all of us, really anything that we've ever done, at one point we've done it for the very first time. And a lot of things that we've done before, or a lot of things that we do, we don't remember doing for the first time, right? Like, you probably don't remember saying your first word. You probably don't remember the first time that you stood up on your two legs and started walking. But one phrase that we do use sometimes is like our earliest memory. We use that phrase sometimes, our earliest memory of experiencing this or doing this. And I was thinking the other day about my earliest memory, the first time that I remember feeling insecure. And for me, the first time I remember feeling insecure was actually in the second grade in Mrs. Dieter's class. Y'all be like, who's Mrs. Dieter? When did she retire? I didn't go to Shelby, okay? So don't try to figure it out because it'll take you a long time. I didn't go to Shelby. But I was second grade, Mrs. Dieter's class, and I had there were these two girls, and they were blondes. And I can't really remember if I just like wanted to be friends with these two girls or if I was already friends with them, okay? But they were blonde. I was not. I know that I look blonde. I'm not naturally blonde. I naturally have brown hair, dark brown hair. I naturally had very dark, bushy eyebrows. I got my father's eyebrows, or you could say eyebrow, okay? It was there. It was very visible. And my arm hair, but that's like a whole nother story. And so I concluded that if I wanted to fit in with these girls, if I was going to be friends with them, if they were going to like me, that I had to look like them. How are you going to do that, right? Like, they were all blonde. I was definitely not. But I went home, and I, like, was on a mission. Got to look like these girls. My eyebrows. Like, we got to do something about this. And you do, you know, I did what everyone does when they're younger, and they're going to do something that they know they're going to get in trouble for if your parents find out that you're going to do. I went to the bathroom. I shut the door. Locked the door. Okay, my mom's not going to find out about this. And then I got into the shower, pulled out the razor, the one to which at that point in my life I had never touched. I was in second grade, okay, so I got that razor. That's right, half of my eyebrow came off, okay? I was no skilled beautician at that point. Half my eyebrow came off. It was bad, it was terrible. There was no coming back from it. I think my mom tried to draw it back on, but it was not gonna work. It was just better to go like bare half eyebrow. Lucky for me, the next day at school was bring your stuffed animal to school day, and I had just had my birthday party and gotten this obnoxiously large panda bear for my birthday. So yeah, that puppy was right in front of my right eye the whole day at school. No one noticed. Everyone noticed. No, I didn't cover that up very well. I actually ended up meeting with the guidance counselor later that day. Her and I became best buds, but it's all history now. But the point is that whether or not you have a shave half your eyebrow off story or not, is that we all, not just when we're young, for the rest of our lives, we all go to great lengths to fit in. We go to great lengths. We do some crazy things to fit in with other people, to kind of feel like we belong. It's, ladies, for us, maybe you go get your eyebrows done by someone skilled, or maybe you get your hair done, or your nails. And I know what some of you are thinking, you're like, well, Des, I do that for me. Like, it makes me feel good. I know, it makes you feel good. But it also makes you feel good when someone gives you a compliment on your hair or your nails, right? Or maybe the people that you hang out with or the people you run with, like, they kind of influence the way you're wearing your hair, the nail shape or color that you have. And for guys, I know you're not relating right now with that stuff. Maybe for you it is a fresh cut. I know some of you high school guys or younger guys, it's like the fresh cut or the new kicks that you got for school. Like, there's things that we do that help us fit in. Or guys, maybe for you it's your accomplishments at work, the way that you can kind of talk about those or slide those into conversations. Or maybe, here's a weird one, might hit for some of you, your grass, your lawn, like, you know, depending on what neighborhood you're in, maybe like that's a way that you kind of fit in with everyone around you. You walk outside and your neighbor kind of looks like, it's looking good over there. You get that little bit of affirmation, that little bit of dopamine makes you feel good. Your lawn's looking really good. Maybe it's not your grass. Maybe it's not something you buy. Well, ladies, there's the bag. You know, it might not be the designer bag, but you know, it's the fanny pack. And some of you ladies are like, I don't buy Lululemon, Des, it's so expensive. I know, but you bought the knockoff so you could look like everyone else, okay? It's the things that we do to fit in, and it's the things that we post, okay? Everyone's posting about their vacation, so I gotta post about my vacation. Everyone's posting their kids' first day school pics, right? Like, if I want to fit in with everyone else, this is what I need to post. It's kind of the trend. It's just kind of what's going on. Or maybe parents, talk about your kids. You know, your kids are succeeding in life. your kids are doing well. This is a way that you can feel like you're approved of, or you can feel like you fit in with other people by what you talk about. Maybe it's different topics of conversation. Like for me, I know I'm guilty of this. Maybe you've done this before. You ever name drop like a famous person that you met one time, or someone that has some credibility, or some people really know them and look up to them, and so you like to mention that name when you're around other people. They get brought up, then you know you'll be more approved of when you say, I've met them, or I've spent time with them. We go to great lengths to fit in. But why? Why do we do this? Because we don't feel like we're enough. We go to great lengths to fit in because we don't think that we're enough. And you might say, like, Des, I didn't walk in here this morning feeling all, like, insecure and lacking in confidence this morning. Like, I don't think this is an issue that I have. This doesn't really relate with me, but I think it might. It might not be direct. It might not be outward or, like, on the surface. It might not be something that you directly think about all the time. But I think that every single one of us wrestle with this thought that we're not enough. And I don't think it's just the direct thought that kind of creeps up into our minds. It's always bothering us. I think this thought, it wreaks havoc in pretty much every area of our lives. And we might not think this thought directly, but we experience the consequences of this thought in our lives. Like maybe there's a purchase you want to make. There's a purchase you want to make. Maybe it's a new car part. Maybe it's a house, a new pair of jeans. Maybe it's a new pair of shoes or a new bag, a new device or a new gadget. There's something that's had your eye. You're thinking about it a lot. And this purchase has taken up a whole lot of your time and attention. And so really, when you're at work and you're getting paid to work, now all of a sudden your time and attention is taken up by researching this item or this object. How do I get the best deal, or is this the best one, or let's compare these, or let's see how I can move around some funds to make sure that I can obtain this thing or buy this thing. It might follow you home too, like conversations with your spouse, and now all of a sudden it's all about this one thing that you want to purchase and how are you going to get it. Or it might not be in your conversations, but maybe it's what you're thinking about all the time, whether you're with your spouse or your kids or your friends. You're thinking about and contemplating and strategizing, how can I get my hands on this thing? How can I get this thing? Why? Because somewhere deep down inside, underneath all the layers, you believe that until you obtain that thing, until you purchase that thing, you're not enough. You're not enough. Maybe you wouldn't use the word deep to describe any of your relationships. Like you've heard people talk about those real friendships. You've heard people talk about how their marriage is just genuine and authentic, and they just have really great conversation with their spouse. You've heard people talk about like community groups and just having a really tight-knit group of friends, and you just go deep and you have those conversations, and maybe you've even been like, yeah, I kind of want that. But I look around in my circle, I look around in my people, and none of my relationships are like that. None of them are like that. But anytime you have the opportunity to share how you're doing, your response is, oh, I'm good. I'm fine. Or maybe you share, but you share just a little bit. Not too much. Not everything. Because if they knew, if they really knew what you struggled with, if they really knew the mess that you were walking through, if people really knew who you are, well, they would discover what you believe is true, that you're not enough. Maybe you wear that hat, that introvert. I'm not really a people person. Small group, no, more one-on-one. I'm just not really a people person. I don't really do the coffee thing. I don't really do the lunch thing. I'm just kind of an introvert. I just kind of keep to myself. Maybe it's a mask because you're afraid. Because you believe that you're not enough, and you're afraid that that other people will discover that too. So you're limited. All of your relationships are limited. You don't get to experience that deep, meaningful relationship. Why? Because you believe that you're not enough. Maybe you're stuck. Maybe you're stuck in your job or your career. And you and your family, you know that for your family's sake financially, you need to take a step forward. You need to branch out. You need to do something differently, whether that's changing a role or changing your field, going back and getting a different certificate or a different degree, more education. You need to do something. Or maybe not financially, but maybe your job is just hard on your body. Like, it just wears and tears on you. And you're getting to the point where you're like, I have to do something different. Or maybe just mentally, your job carries too much stress. And you carry all that stress home, and it's burdening, and affects your marriage, it affects your time at home. And so you know that you need to make a change, you want to make a change. But you can't. You're stuck. Why? Because you believe. You believe that you're not enough. You can't go back and get a certificate. You can't do more schooling. You've never been good at school. You're not smart enough. You're not competent enough. And the whole interview process, no thank you. I don't need someone else to tell me that I'm not enough because I already know. I already know. You already know you're not enough. Or maybe you're exhausted. You're worn out, tired, because your schedule is packed to the brim. Like, it is always full. Why? Because you're a yes man or a yes woman. You're a helper. You help people. You serve people. You like to be there for people. You like to show up for people and do things for them. But who would you be if you said no? I mean, boundaries, who's she? Rest? Never heard of him. And you think that if you aren't there for people, if you're not a helper, if you're not a servant, if they can't count on you, then they'll believe what you already believe is true. You're not enough. We believe this, that we're not enough. Society, social media screams this, that we're not enough. You're not smart enough. You're not wealthy enough. You're not pretty enough or skinny enough. You're not enough. And while you're probably waiting for this ice to break and for things to get a little bit lighter in here, I don't have great news. Because this is actually confirmed in Scripture. You see, Paul, he wrote most of the New Testament. Paul used to actually hate Christians, and then he became a Christian, and then he started planting churches and helping grow churches. And so we often read from a lot of his letters that he wrote to churches to help them develop and grow. And this morning, I want to read from one of his letters to the church in Ephesus, which is called Ephesians, where Paul actually affirms that we're not enough. This is what he says. This is what he says in Ephesians 2. He says, "Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins." Paul's not saying you were dead physically. He's talking about being dead spiritually, being dead to God. "You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He, the devil, is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God." Paul says all of us used to live that way. Same level playing field here, friends. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. Paul says by our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. See what Paul is saying here is that we're not enough without Christ. Without Christ, we're not enough. We're dead spiritually without Christ. subject to God's anger. Why? Because we're sinful. Because by nature, we are sinful human beings. What is sin? Sin is any time that we disobey or dishonor God. You've probably asked this question before, right? Because I know we like to try to see, like, what we can and can't do. You know, like, maybe you wanted to say something or purchase something or do something or post something. And you might be like, wow, is that a sin? Is that a sin? It's a sin if it's disobeying or dishonoring God or his word. Why does that matter? What does sin do? Sin separates us from God. For those of you in the room that are like, Des, I'm not really sure if I'm on the whole God train thing yet. Okay, that's fine. Sin doesn't just separate us from God. Sin separates us from others. So anytime that there is sin in our lives, it separates us from sometimes the people that we're closest to. It does damage in our relationships. It separates us from God, and it separates us from other people. And y'all, this is not a popular worldview that we are sinful human beings. But it is so true. It's not popular in today's society, because what's popular out there is kind of the other side of you are not enough. What's really popular is anytime you get on TikTok, any content creator on TikTok, every post that you see on Facebook or Instagram, everyone's like, you're enough, like you're doing it, you go mama, like you're rocking it, you know, treat yourself, self-love, like you've got to love yourself, and everyone's trying to make you feel like you're enough and like you're okay, and it's they all fall pathetically short because they're not true, you're not enough. Without Christ. You're not enough without Christ. And I know those quotes and those things, they make us feel good, right? Like they're all warm and fuzzy. And some of y'all, you're like, Des, I post those. Like I'm just trying to radiate positivity. I know you are, but you're just lying to people. We're lying to other people, and we're lying to ourselves because we're trying to make ourselves feel like we're okay. And we're not okay. We're not okay. We're not enough. Without Christ. And it's so important. It's so important for us to acknowledge that we are sinners. Y'all, this is crucial. It is vital for us to acknowledge that we are sinners. Because if we don't acknowledge that we're sinners, we won't see our need for a Savior. And when we don't see our need for a Savior, Jesus becomes irrelevant. And then we think that we're enough. When the truth is, we're not enough without Christ. Here's what's also true. And I know this has all been like kind of depresso over here. So here's some really good news for us this morning. If you walked in feeling like you're not enough, or if I have just convinced you that you are not enough, well, it's true without Christ, but God. That's the good news for us this morning, friends. Paul picks it up in verse 4. He says, but God. But God is so rich in mercy. What is mercy? It's a word, we sang it this morning. It's a kind of a churchy word. You might be like, I don't really even know what that means. Mercy is when God withholds bad things from us that we deserve. Mercy is God withholding consequences and punishment, like all of the things that we deserve because we are sinful, because we disobeyed, because we dishonored him. We deserve death. We deserve punishment. And God withholds those things from us because of his love. Because of his love. Mercy would be like you standing before a judge. And you committed a crime that actually deserves life without parole. But the judge looks at you and says, you're forgiven. You're free to go home, enjoy dinner, enjoy your kids. That is mercy. It's God withholding the bad things from us that we actually deserve. Paul says God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. Y'all, Christ had to die because we were dead. And we did that to ourselves. through our disobedience and our dishonoring of God. We did that. We were dead. And so in order for us to be raised and for us to be reunited with God, Jesus had to die. He had to die so that we could be raised with Christ and we could be in a relationship again with God. Then he says, it is only by God's grace that you have been saved. It's only by grace. What is grace? It's a free gift. It's a free gift. Mercy is God withholding bad things that we do deserve. Grace is God giving us really, really good things that we don't deserve. It's a free gift. It's only by God's grace that we can be saved. And if you're in here this morning, you would say that you're not saved yet. You would say that you haven't believed or you haven't given your life over to Jesus, that you've never put your faith in God. And maybe you relate with all of this, the sin nature, not being enough, mistakes in your life. I want you to know this morning that it's only by grace. You don't have to do anything. God is merciful and he's gracious and he wants you to be reunited with him, and you don't have to do anything. You can't do anything to earn it or deserve it. And that, I hope, is such good news for you this morning. And at one point in time, that was such good news for so many of us, and it still is. Paul says in verse 6, he was raised from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. In verse 7, so God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. I think a lot of that in verse 7 can feel a little bit deep, a little bit like, yeah, that like makes sense, you know, churchy-wise, but it doesn't actually make sense. When I was reading it in verse 7, like he can point to us in all future ages as examples of his incredible wealth, of his grace and kindness. Y'all ever known like a really good kid? Like if you're a teacher, you're like, yeah, I know, those good kids, like they're like a highlight of my day when I have that kid in class. You know, or you just know someone who you're like, they're just a great kid. And you know, you have to look at their parents and say, you know, great job. Like you've raised a great kid, or you know that their parents probably have something to do with how they are respectful or how they're just a good kid. That's what this reminds me of. That in the same way that a kid or a child reflects who his parents are a lot of the times, not all the times, that we who are changed and new in Christ, see, when we're new in Christ, there's change, there's transformation, there's life change. We live differently. And so Paul is saying we are examples. God's going to point to us as examples of how he's gracious and how he's kind, because we didn't do anything to get there. We didn't earn that life change, transformation. No, it was all God. It's all God. And then he says in verses 8 and 9, God saved you by his grace when you believed. When you believed. Y'all, that's all we have to do to be saved. It's to believe. Paul says you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done. So none of us can boast about it. If you walked into our church recently, or maybe for the first time today, and you've wondered kind of what we believe here as a church, what we're all about, this is what we believe. This is what we believe. This is why we sing. This is why we praise God. Because of his grace, because of his mercy, because we were dead in our sins. And simply by believing in him, he saved us, and he reunited us in relationship with him. He saved us from all of our sin, the sin we've ever committed. in the sin that we ever will. He saved us. And I think sometimes someone who's followed Jesus for a little while, maybe you'd put yourself in that category, you'd call yourself maybe like a mature believer, or mature Christian or something like that. It can be really, really easy. It can be really easy to think that we've done something to get here. Like maybe you show up here every Sunday. You're on a serving team. Maybe you're even in a small group. Or maybe you've got your spiritual disciplines, you know, or your faith habits or faith rhythms, whatever you want to call them. Maybe you've got those. Like you do your devos, you got your prayer time, and you are you're disciplined in it. It can be easy to think that I had part in this. Like I did something to get here. No, because I fall into that too, y'all. But we didn't. It's all because of God's grace. It's all because of his free gift to us. And if someone who's claimed the name of Christ, if someone who's called themselves a Christian has ever made you feel like you are less than, has ever made you feel like you're not good, has ever made you feel below them, because you're not a Jesus follower or because of the way that you live or because of what you do or what you don't do, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Because it's just not true. You see, for any of us that are Jesus followers, we're not any better. By nature, we are sinful and broken people. So we're not any better than people who don't follow Jesus. We might just be a little bit better off because we follow Jesus. But we're not any better. There's more good news that Paul has for us. This is actually the theme verse of our series, the series, Who Do You Think You Are? And so we're going to be visiting this verse throughout this series. But I love how Paul just kind of ends it with a banger right here in verse 10. This is what he says. Paul writes, "For we are God's masterpiece." Y'all feel like you're not enough? The world tell you you're not enough? The voice in your head tell you you're not doing enough? You're not a good enough mom? You're not a good enough employee? You're not a good enough husband? You're not enough? We are God's masterpiece. In Christ, we are enough. In Christ, we are enough, y'all. God paid the price because of his grace and because of his mercy. We are enough. We are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Y'all, God has good things planned for us. And in Christ, you are enough. Without Christ, you're not enough. But in Christ, you are enough. But we think that we have all these problems, right? Like we think that we have like a parenting problem. Like, oh, we just need to figure out how to raise halfway decent kids. And in our world today, like how do we do that? Or we need to try to live on our income and financially. Like how are we supposed to get out of debt? How are we supposed to do all these things? We think we have a financial problem because how are we supposed to buy groceries in today's society? Or you think that you have a marriage problem. Like you just can't find time for date night. So you think that you have a marriage problem. Or you think that you have a discipline problem. I just need to be able to work out. I just need to be able to eat better. I'm just always struggling in this cycle. Like, we think we have all these problems. But none of these problems are our problems. We just have an identity problem. We just don't know who we are. And when we don't know who we are, we have no idea what to do or how to live. And it's so exhausting. It's so exhausting because the pressure of our world and the things that we're seeing on social media, like everything makes us feel like we're not enough. And we have this pressure on ourselves to like be a better mom or like, oh, that girl's post or have more money or go on more vacations or look differently. But y'all, we were never meant to live this way. Because we're seeking approval from so many other people when we've already been approved of. We've already been approved of. Jesus paid the price. God said, you are enough. He called you masterpiece. And he has good works, good things planned for you to do. But how in the world are we supposed to show up in the different areas of our lives and live purposefully and live with purpose when we're exhausting all of our energy just trying to be enough for all these other people? But really, when we show up new in Christ as Jesus followers, you show up and bring purpose to everything you do. You bring purpose to your finances. You bring purpose to your marriage. You bring purpose with you to your job. You live from the approval that you already have because in Christ, you're enough. But this is so easy to forget, isn't it? I mean, through the thick of our everyday lives and everything that we have going on, and I mean, y'all, let's just be honest. How much time do we just do this? Because everything on social media is just telling us that we're not enough. So do we even stand a fighting chance at remembering that in Christ we're enough and living like it? I don't even know if we stand a chance at remembering that that's true, let alone living like it. So what do? My invitation, a challenge for you, is to let what's true, to let what's actually true inform you. So read. Maybe you already have habits, rhythms, disciplines. Maybe you don't. If you already have some, I've got another one for you. If you don't have one, I've got one for you. It's this week, every single day. Just one time every day this week, just this week, to read Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. It's the verses that we just covered. But y'all, there's so much to unpack in the gospel. That's really what this is. It's the good news. There's so much to unpack, and I believe there's so much that God wants to speak to you through these 10 verses. And it takes way more time than what I was able to just walk through up here. And so I want to invite you, as we're kicking off this series, I think this is a great way for us to kind of be aligned and united as a church to go into the rest of this series to receive what God has for us. And so if you don't have a Bible, we have this Bible for you at the Connection booth. We would love to give it to you. It's a new Believer's Bible. It's just the New Testament, okay? So it's only like half of it, but the letters are bigger. It's great. So you can pick one of these up at the Connection booth, or another option is literally in the App Store. On your phone, you can download the app. It's called YouVersion, okay? Y-O-U. If you don't have a Bible, I give you permission. You can get your phone out right now and download this app. You really should. It's a great resource. In the App Store, it's called YouVersion, Y-O-U. It's a Bible app. It's a great resource in following Jesus, but the whole Bible is on there in addition to lots of other plans and devotions, and you can read. And the convenience of your pocket while you're, I was going to say at a red light, but I should not say that. While you're waiting for an appointment or doing whatever else, you can read Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. Because I think we at least need a fighting chance. Let what's true inform us. How would your life be different? How would your life change? If you actually believed this and you lived like it was true, that in Christ you are enough, I imagine that in every area you would experience probably some more peace. You would feel a whole lot more joyful, probably more free, maybe a little bit lighter. That's the life I want for you. I believe that's the life that God has in store for you. Would y'all pray with me? Heavenly Father, God, thank you for your love, for your grace, and for your mercy. Lord, thank you that even though we, through our sin, separated ourselves from you, thank you for having the perfect plan to bring us back into relationship with you. And thank you, God, for requiring nothing of us to be reunited with you. Father, I pray that for each individual in this room that you would reveal to them that they are enough in Christ. And I pray, Lord, that wouldn't just be something that they hear today on a Sunday, but that it would be something that impacts and influences every area in their life throughout every day of the week. God, we love you so much, and we thank you for first loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.